Well, to paraphrase a good friend and colleague of mine who preached recently in this pulpit, Dr. Van Holmes. May the Lord forgive Dr. Freeman for all the exaggerations that he had rendered. And may the Lord forgive me for enjoying him so much. One thing I know that Dr. King would remind us is he did not start the movement towards social justice in our world. He stood on the shoulders of those who had brought him to the faith and through the faith and forward with the faith. And I am humbled and honored to stand in this pulpit with the heritage and tradition of this congregation, who for years, longer than 27, has stood forward for the righteousness, justice, and peace in our world. So I am humbled to be the speaker today, and I'm honored to commemorate the memory, the legacy, and the dream of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. I'd like to share some comments and a question I want to invite you to be thinking about as I address today is the question, how large is your family? How large is your family? Before my parents died, and I appreciate the gracious words that you spoke of them, they went back to Germany. My father was an immigrant, and so he had an identity with those who were marginalized, because being a youngster after World War I and growing up as an adolescent into World War II, the Germans weren't exactly the most popular people in our culture. But they went back to Germany, they traced family roots, and then they came back and produced some incredibly huge family trees that go back 200 or 300 years to two people and then branches and branches. And I'm a leaf on the far right. I tell some people I'd rather be a leaf on the far left, but that's where they drew the picture. Okay? But that's a large family. Only about 100 of them are still living, and I only know about 20 of those. But that's a large family. How large is your family? I want to share two scriptures from our faith. The first has already been quoted. It comes from the prophet Amos. So let justice, peace, and righteousness roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And then from the psalmist who wrote, O Lord, what are human beings that you are mindful of them and care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and given them dominion over the beasts, the birds, and whatever passes along the paths of the seas. The psalmist proclaims that God created humans above other creatures and just a little less than the angels of God. Justice, peace, and righteousness, of which the prophet Amos speaks, are human attributes that fit in that gap between God and all of God's other creatures, the beasts, the birds, and whatever path passes along the paths of the seas. Those beasts provide the basic necessity for their young to survive infancy, but it's hard to find examples of justice, peace, or righteousness beyond the instinct for the species to survive. In the realm of Mother Nature, justice, peace, or righteousness is a protect your own and don't fret the rest dynamic. Lick your own wounds, swat your own disease-carrying insects, and find your own way, and leave justice to fate. The human being is distinctly different from other creatures. We can tend each other's wounds. We can identify with others who suffer unjustly. We can imagine a world where all persons are one family. We can not only recognize the diabolical forces of injustice, we can also apply ourselves to seek justice for all, not just ourselves, but for all. Just as peace and righteousness are a human identity which we cannot ignore or deny. Jesus commended the Samaritan who bound the wounds of the man beaten on the road to Jericho. The Samaritan was not an official of some religious sect, just an adherent who believed that to be a sermon was far greater than to hear one any day. When asked which one was the neighbor to the beaten man, the answer was obtusely obvious: the one who showed him mercy. Thus, if we are ever to fulfill the greatest commandment, to love God and to love our neighbor, then we are bound by our convictions to care for the wounds of others and strive for justice for all, not the few, not the many, but for all. And to pay the costs, even if they exceed our initial expectation. Take care of him, the Samaritan said, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. In the first century, God acted in the life of Jesus of Nazareth to break down the divisions between the circumcised and the uncircumcised, between the Greek and the Jew, between male and female. These divisions had generations of cultural legacy behind them, but God acted to break them down. Now in the 21st century, God, by any name we would use, invites us to continue the legacy of breaking down barriers that divide us, and by their existence, promote inequality and discrimination. The ugly head of institutional racism yet lives. God acts to abolish the partitions which divide humanity, and then gives us the ministry of reconciliation that we might indeed see a kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Too many of us, my friends, glibly accept the secular definition of family. If I asked you, who is your family, how would you respond? How many persons would you list as family members? Those who live in the same household with you? Those with whom you have lived in their household? Is it ones you can identify on one of those huge family trees? Is it those who look like you, earn like you, serve like you, and act like you? Quite frankly, my friends, none of these distinctions make much sense in the context of divine witness. For God made us all and yearns to make us one. God gives us the ministry of reconciliation. God dreams that we would act out our heritage as sisters and brothers in one family of God. And as such, my friends, we can ever again see anyone from an earthly point of view. When my perception of family extends my familial relations beyond my family tree to my 50th cousin who is sitting next to me today, I told him next year we'll both wear 42 and they won't be able to tell us apart. When my relations go beyond my family tree, I can begin to see through the eyes that God gives. To see not only justice for my own child, but justice, peace, and righteousness for all God's children. My friends, I challenge you to find and to show to me one human being who is not by definition a child of God. And thus, like you and me, a sibling in the family of God. 2 months before he was assassinated in 1968, Dr. King rendered his famous Drum Major Instinct sermon. The focus of the sermon was on the human desire to be the center of the universe, to be the drum major that stands out in front and directs the entire marching band. Before researching that sermon, I did not know of its etiology, but according to Stanford University, Dr. King was standing on the shoulders when he got the idea of the drum major instinct from a 1952 homily delivered by J. Wallace Hamilton, a well-known progressive white Methodist preacher. King concluded his sermon by imagining his own funeral, downplaying his famous achievements, and emphasizing his heart to do right, focusing not on the times when he was out in front of the band and directing, but rather focusing on when he was the servant of humanity. He spoke these words at the conclusion of that sermon. Every now and then, I guess, we all think realistically about that day when we will be victimized with what is life's final common denominator. That's something that we call death. We all think about it, and every now and then I think about my own death and I think about my own funeral, and I don't think of it in a morbid sense, and every now and then I ask myself, what is it that I would want said? And I leave you this word this morning. Dr. King went on, if any of you are around when I have to meet my day, I don't want a long funeral. And if you get somebody to deliver the eulogy, tell them not to talk too long. They told me not to talk too long today, too. And Dr. King went on, and every now and then I wonder what I want them to say. Don't tell them not to mention that I have a Nobel Peace Prize. That's important. Tell them not to mention that I have 300 or 400 other awards. That's not important. Tell them not to mention where I went to school. I'd like somebody to mention that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to give his life serving others. I'd like for somebody to say that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to love somebody. I want you to say that day that I tried to be right on the war question. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try to feed the hungry. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try in my life to clothe those who were naked. I want you to say on that day that I did try in my life to visit those who were in prison. I want you to say that I tried to love and serve humanity. Yes, if you want to say that I was a drum major, say that I was a drum major for justice, peace, and righteousness. And all of the other shallow things will not matter. I won't have any money to leave behind. I won't have the fine, luxurious things of life to leave behind, but I just want to leave a committed life behind. And that's all I want to say. Well, it's not all I want to say. I got something. That's the end of the quote, though. The psalmist identifies that God created humanity just a little less than the angels of God. And God created humanity to have dominion over all other creatures. Thus, my friends, each one of us lives in that gap. In that gap between animal and angel. Created to be just less than God, but capable of living in the basic survival of the instincts of the universe. When it comes to justice, peace, and righteousness, where do we find ourselves in that gap? near the animals for whom peace, justice, and righteousness are a protect your own and don't fret the rest dynamic. Lick your own wounds, swat your own disease, carry an insect, find your own way and leave justice to fate? Or do we act out our love for God and our neighbor, finding ourselves stopping in the middle of our own preconceived journey to notice the one ignored by others? Caring for them and paying whatever price may be required. Do we not only bind our siblings' wounds, but courageously and boldly enter into the diabolical systems of this world that destroy the fullness of life and focus our lives on changing those systems in the name of justice? When it comes to justice, peace, and righteousness, how large is your family? As small as a family tree, or as large as the family of God? Jesus said, is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give him a stone? If a child asks for a fish, will give a snake? I ask, is there any among us who, if our child needed justice, would not do all in our power to provide it? Or if your grandchild needed justice, would you not be willing to go to any length to see it provided? So how large is your family? As small as a family tree, or as large as the family of God? The prophet Amos proclaimed thousands of years ago, and may it be our cry of hope and commitment today, so let justice, peace, and righteousness roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Let justice roll down, not because it is a privilege or a right, but because justice is the identity that separates the human creature from the other creatures of nature. Let justice roll down, not for a few, not even for the many, but for all. How large is our family? So my friends, we look for the day when justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. So we look for the ways and the means that we can live in such a way that our world is transformed from the low levels of instinctive survival to the heights of peace for all persons. So my friends, we remember those who have gone before us and upon whose shoulders we now stand today, and we rededicate ourselves to righteousness that brings hope to all human beings. So my friends, today we are bold to join our voices to the spirit exhibited by Dr. King and say, yes, if you want to say we were drum majors, say that we were drum majors for justice, peace, and righteousness. And all of the other shallow things will not matter. In the words of Dr. King, I won't have any money to leave behind. I won't have the fine and luxurious things to leave behind. But I just want to leave behind a committed life. And that's all I want to say. Thanks be to God.